Yeah.
Glorify you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, the word is good.
Amen.
He loves you this morning. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, for me to do a special song, you know that's got to be God. I hate singing. You know, the Lord is stretching me. Of course, the message that Pastor Nancy had given me up in Canada about, just new things happening and being unrecognizable. Well, I'm seeing there's a stretching there too. And I was mentioned last night, this isn't my sermon this morning, but last night I mentioned this week how God dealt with me to listen to a live stream message of myself. And she's here, she'll attest to this. I don't listen to myself preach ever. I can't stand to hear it. And so I feel bad for all you. And but anyways, it ministered to me. And that was stretching for me. And then he put this song on my heart to do because people needed to hear that this morning. And it blessed people. So he's just stretching us. Praise God. But he loves us so much to do special things like that. Praise God. And kind of like when Albert came up here and gave his testimony about being supernaturally healed. You know, I'm not one to just let anybody come up and speak because, my goodness, I have heard some crazy things. Thankfully not here, but when you give people the microphone, oh boy, get ready, get the pop the popcorn, get the mic and Ikes out, because here we go. But the Lord said to have Albert do it, and it blessed you, didn't it? It's because when you follow the Holy Ghost. So we're going to follow the Holy Ghost this morning too, okay? Praise God. Well, 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, let's pray and believe God for utterance. Father, we love you this morning. We're so thankful, so grateful to be in your presence. Jesus, you're here. You said you'd come. You said two or three are gathered. So thank you for coming to South Dayton today. Lord, give me utterance to say what needs to be said. Father, there are a lot of people here that have different needs and are going through different things, different circumstances in their life. Father, you know what needs to be said. I sure don't. So, Lord, I'm endeavoring to follow you the best I know how. Speak through me that my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. That I would not speak with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. So, Father, I thank you so much that we go from glory to glory today. I thank you that we're helped and changed. Father, I thank you're going to say something specific from my mouth, straight from heaven to my mouth, for every single person here. And it's going to strike a bullseye in their heart for exactly what they need to hear this morning. And Lord, only you can do that. We don't exalt a man or a name of a ministry. We exalt Jesus. Lord, we're just here doing our part, obeying you. The spotlight's on you, Father. So we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, now get this, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, now notice this next line, reserved in heaven for you. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now he says, wherein, in verse 6, he's saying, wherein you greatly rejoice. What's he talking about? The fact that you got an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, reserved, waiting for you. He says, because of that you rejoice. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations or tests and trials. Praise God.
Amen.
Inheritance, go back to verse 3, Josh, if you wouldn't, or verse 4, I'm sorry. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. When we were on a house search, we lived at a small house in Jamestown, very tiny, with Caleb and our one yellow lab, and she was pregnant, and it's a really tiny house. We knew we were going to need a bigger house. So we were on a house search for about 26 months. And I don't remember along the lines of when this happened, but there was one house that was actually out in this area. The reason I think it took us so long, there were some timing things with the current house that we're in, but also I was just kind of going out of my head. I was looking in the South Dayton, Cherry Creek area. Just, I thought this is where I needed to be, you know. But again, it's just best to follow the Holy Ghost. And so we looked, but then anyway, so there was a house up here that we just loved. I mean, it's about 5 minutes from here, and I mean, there were things about it that just, we're very low maintenance people, so what might be awesome to us might just be normal to other people, but that's okay. Each their own, right? Everybody has their own joy, and some people, it's a little more elaborate, some people isn't. We're just kind of middle of the road, just simple people, but this house had everything and more that we could ask for and that we wanted, and I mean, it was kind of like Adirondack style, which really is a trigger in my heart. It had a huge fireplace in it, which is was a kind of a dream, you know, to have a fireplace going up the wall and to hang animals when I finally start killing them. When that day comes. Not if, when. And so we had made an appointment to see it, and we were excited. I mean, she was off the rocker. I mean, oh, you know, it just pumped. I can't even tell how else to put it. And we got in that house within the first 5 minutes. It ended up being about a two-hour appointment. Within the first 5 minutes, the Holy Spirit said, "This is not your house. I have a better one for you." So I was excited. It was bittersweet because my natural mind and flesh wanted this one. But when the Holy Ghost tells you that, you get excited. But the thing was, I was like, "Oh boy, she's going through this thing. Tell her the same thing right now, Lord." Well, he didn't, because when we got in the car, she was all on cloud nine. "Oh, this is the best thing ever." And I said, "That ain't ours." Oh, the tears came. I cry too. I'm not just telling on her, but I'm just telling the truth, you know? But then when I was able to minister her to, "Listen, no, he's got something better for us. I know it's hard to see that because we can't see it right now. But he's got something better for us." And so even though in our flesh and our mind, we went home a little disappointed that, wow, that we thought we were maybe going to use our faith and get into that one and be so close to the church and things like that. Because we knew we had something better, we were thrilled. And we were excited. But guess what we did? We talked about it. We looked forward to it. We thought about what we could do there in the house. And even though we had not seen this house or seen this dwelling place, we talked about it. We knew it was going to have to be wonderful because it was better than what the Lord said was the house that we really, really loved. And so with that being said, I have a confession to make about these verses. And, I don't know, maybe it'll change the way y'all look at me, and maybe you won't think Pastor Mike, I don't know what you think of me now, but maybe you have these thoughts in your head that, wow, he's just a faith man and moves mountains and things, and maybe this will really set you back with your thoughts towards me. But I have a confession to make. I'm excited about heaven.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm excited about going to heaven.
Amen.
It's a home for me that has an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, and is reserved for me.
Amen.
Now, I think a lot of times in our camp, and what I mean by our camp is the Word of Faith camp, and for some of the reason, it's good reason, we don't talk a lot about heaven because we're not there yet. And a lot of old-time religion had wrote songs, and they come off talking about heaven about, well, when we get there, that's when things will get good. Well, that's not faith.
Right.
Because the Bible says we can have heaven on earth. That's the will of God, that Jesus said to pray that way, that we can have heaven on earth. The Old Testament people were promised, they weren't even his children, were promised days of heaven upon the earth. That means heaven invading down here. And so to talk that way and to sing songs about, oh, how miserable it is here and how tough it is here and how hard the struggle is, and if we just hang on long, do you hear the inflection? That's on purpose. Hang on long enough, we'll make it to glory. Just scraping by, right? I mean, that's what I grew up in. But that's not faith. And so I think a lot of times we'll stay away from talking about heaven because we almost think it's indictment against our faith. But I'm sorry that when the Lord told me this house isn't yours, you have a better one, I got excited about that.
Amen.
And I talked about it, and I looked forward to it.
Yeah.
Now, I had to do it in God's timing. Couldn't get out ahead of God. And I'm certainly not asking any of you to check out and go there today. But we can look forward to it. It's an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved for you in heaven, praise God. And so I'm excited about heaven. We don't talk a lot about heaven, but it seemed good in my spirit that we talk a little bit about that. We get excited about our future home, of what awaits us that's there for us. Would that be okay? Praise God. And, you know, it even goes on to say in the verse, we don't have to turn it, but it says in verse 6, wherein you now you greatly rejoice. It's okay to greatly rejoice. Listen, call me weird, but I'm excited that my eternity is not going to be in the burning pit of hell. And that it's going to be in the streets of gold where there's no sickness, no disease, no pain, no suffering, no emotional turmoil. No traumatic things, no drama, no chaos. Excuse me for being happy about that. Right? A place where you won't even... See, now you can have heaven on earth here, but you got to use your faith. Won't need it up there. It'll just always be awesome. It'll just always be awesome. And what's interesting about this, and not talk about very much, is... excuse me, with Jesus dying on the cross, we talk about what that brought us. It brought us peace. It brought us the ability to walk in healing on this earth. It brought us the ability to walk in financial provision to be taken care of. It did. Jesus died for those things. Our poverty, our sickness, our peace, glory to God. And so we talk about those things. Well, doesn't heaven and eternal life trump those things? Because those other blessings, which we're thankful for, the healing and the prosperity, they bring you temporary, relief, right? Temporary relief down here. Because when you get to there, you won't need healing because it'll just always be provided. You won't need to believe for prosperity up there. The streets are paved in gold. But down here, when we believe God for healing, it's still even only to believe us and to maintain us for a temporary time, because when we go there, we don't have to believe for it. So I'm a little confused as why we don't exalt and talk about heaven more. Because Jesus died on the cross for us, yes, to give us prosperity, yes, to give us healing, but I'll take heaven and eternal healing and eternal prosperity, not that you have to have a trade-off. You don't. You don't have to say, well, I can only be excited about that and then miss it out here. No, but what I'm saying is, why aren't we exalting and being excited about what waits for us? In fact, if we'll have our mind geared towards heaven, it'll help us on the earth. It'll help your faith. It'll help you being worldly. Because how many of you know, sin's not helping you? Again, we're not a church that's going to beat you over the head and tell you how horrible you are, but I will tell you the truth, that sin will hurt your life. And the only reason people really sin is because they don't have a consciousness that God is with them at all times and that they're above that, right? We just kind of go by the flesh, we go by the mind at times. But if we had a greater consciousness of our righteousness, you know, I remember this is kind of gross in a way. I do brush my teeth. I want to say that before we start. I want to make sure you know I brush my teeth. But I went to the dentist. It was like a space of almost 2 or 3 years that I hadn't gone. Now, here's Pastor Mike's hygiene for his teeth. Really, to be truthful, all that I really did was brush twice a day, faithfully do that, but really never flossed. Flossing to me is violent. I don't understand how that could be good for you. Now, I do it now after I tell you the story why, but it's a violent activity. There's blood and things popping. It just hurts. So why is that? How would that be? It's like people that are runners on the side of the road. I said this last night. People that are runners on the side of the road, they look so miserable. I'm like, why don't they just stop? Just stop. It won't look like that anymore, right? And so anyways, in the occasional... The mouthwash. I know, nasty, right? You're probably thinking, ew, you're gross, Pastor Mike. But I know I got some people beat with just that. How do I know? Because I used to lead youth group, and those kids sometimes didn't even brush their teeth ever. But anyway, so I went to the dentist. I went to the dentist, and I was nervous. I didn't know what they were going to say that was going to be my diagnosis. He said, you have one cavity. I was shocked. I have never been more thankful for one cavity. I mean, I was praising God for that one cavity. Thank you, Lord. I love you, cavity. I'm so thankful that you're the only one in there. I hope you're doing good in there. I was so happy. And but here's what it did for me. When I realized, after all that time, that it wasn't that bad in there, it made me want to do better going forward. So now I do floss. Now I do rinse every single day, twice a day. I endure the pain. Why? But what I'm saying is because it put me in a place where I knew I was doing good, because a lot of people won't stop sinning because they figure, what's the point now? I'm too far into it. I know people that are so far into what they're doing, they feel like, it's over for me. I've wasted so much time. I've done it wrong so many times. What's the sense now? That's a lie of the enemy to keep you in that place. But see, when you realize that you're righteous, it puts you on a new place of wanting to maintain that righteousness. Just like the teeth, I was like, wow, it's not that bad, but I want to maintain it. So the next time I come back, it's going to be good. Well, heaven will do that to you as well. When you have your sights set on that this is not it. Because isn't that where a lot of our fear, worry, depression, anxiety comes from? Because of things that happen in this realm. And we are so focused on us and our lives. You know, when trials, people become very selfish in trials. I don't mean that in a mean way, but they become very inward in trials. That's what trials will do to you. And we're so concerned with our little portion of the world and our sector of life that we think, well, because we're going through a financial test and trial, I only got a little space and time. I need to get this fixed, or my hopes and dreams that I have in my head aren't going to come to pass because I'm not going to be able to pay for that. Or anything, any trial, anything, right? Because we think this is it. But when we have our mind that this is just the start. If we're talking about a timeline from your beginning to your end, which there is no, there's an earthly end for you, but there's no spiritual end for you. We're talking about a timeline that when you put 100 years on it, you're not even going to be able to see the first two lines, depending on how big the timeline. But if it's just a regular timeline, they're going to be so close together. And then all these other years are going to be spent in an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, that's been reserved and kept waiting for you in heaven. Where moth, thief, and rust cannot destroy. Where it never fades away, praise God. Where the healing waters flow always. Where the prosperity waters flow always. Where the peace in your mind flows always. Where torments and habits and addictions and all those things are gone. And it's perfect peace always. I think if we would get a mindset of that, not only would we get excited, but it would propel us into faith, and it would propel us out of worry and anxiety and fear. Because really, when you stop and think about it, what's the worst thing that can happen to us? We die. Oh, well. Okay. Okay, that's what I'm looking for. Praise God. You understand what I'm saying? Now, we want to fulfill our plan to the best as possible. But I'm just saying, when you turn the tables on the devil, what's the worst thing that can happen to you? You're gone from this earth, and then you get the best thing that's ever happened to you. Right? Now, that doesn't mean you take your faith off the gas here, because people need us. People need us to do these things. But if we have a heavenly mindset, well, we won't have a heavenly mindset if we don't think about it and don't talk about it. And so you might think, well, this is so elementary. Well, you just hold on, smarty pants back there. We're just... It blesses me to talk about heaven. And it's not out of faith to talk about heaven in the way that we talk about heaven. Praise God. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Praise God. Excuse me. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Praise God. I can't wait to go there. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ has ripped away the fear of death in my life. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ has ripped away the fear of death in my life. Death is no longer something I fear. Death is something I look forward to. Amen. See, that's twisted. No, that's Bible.
Yeah, that's
right. Amen. And I'll show you some scriptures so you can walk out of here not thinking I'm just the weirdest thing you've ever heard of. Now, do I want to go right now? No. But I'll tell you, when I would cross over to that place, I wouldn't want to come back.
Yeah.
See, the Bible says no eye has seen, no ear has heard the things that God has in store for us. We can't comprehend in our mind and in our thoughts, but our hearts can start. Because then he says, but they've been revealed. Your heart knows, my God, there's something big waiting for me.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Colossians 3 and verse 1 says, if then you be risen with Christ, if you're born again, seek those things which are above. Now, he specifically tells you where to seek. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Well, guess where that is? That's heaven.
Yeah.
Where is God? God is in heaven. Where is Christ seated at the right hand of God? Heaven. Well, the Bible says, seek those things which are above. So he actually tells us, set your mind on heaven.
Amen.
So we're not doing anything wrong today.
Right.
Excuse me. We're doing everything right. He told us, set our sights there. Now, this is what I want to get across to you. when we were getting ready to move out of that apartment, and we knew that that was not our permanent dwelling place, we were thankful for it, we didn't invest everything into that home. We didn't invest all our time. Now, there were things we could have done to that house to make it better while we were there, but in our thinking, we're like, why would we want to spend the effort, the energy, the money, when we know it's just so temporary? And so we didn't, right? We waited until we invested in the more permanent dwelling place of where we're at now. Well, look at what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Maybe you've never heard anything like this before, but praise God, there's a first for everything. Isn't that what they say? Philippians 3, in verse 17. Because when you have a heavenly mindset, the peace that it brings you, because people are striving, and people are running rampant, and running a chaotic life down here because they're trying to fit it all in.
Sure.
Amen? Because they don't have the hope that the best you can get down here, that'll be like dirt up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Philippians 3, verse 17 says, brethren, be followers together of me, saying, follow after my example. Paul was a good one. He said, mark them which walk so as you have for us in a sample or example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and tell you now, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end, verse 19, is their destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. Now look at the end of this. Whose mind is set on earthly things. See, our mind, our thoughts shouldn't even be directed to this realm.
Amen.
This should not take up the bulk of our thinking and the majority of our efforts and energy of our thinking.
Right.
It does for a lot of people, but it shouldn't. He told you in Colossians 3, set your mind on things above. Now he's saying, he puts them in a category who are enemies of the cross of the Christ. He says they're enemies. They mind earthly things. All they're concerned about is earthly things. That's what he's saying. But they're going. He says in verse 20, for our conversation. Now that word's a little bit blind to us in the King James in this context because that makes it sound like a conversation back and forth. But that word in the Hebrew is citizenship. And more modern translations will tell you that. For our citizenship, because he just got done saying, stop thinking about earthly things. Why would you invest? If you're going to live a quadrillion, bazillion, gazillion years up there, and then when that's over, that's going to start again, and you're going to get 80 to 100 down here, right? And most people don't even get that. But if you even get that, I'm just going high end here. If you get that, you say, why is all your effort and energy spent and thought spent on this small time that's going to pass away, but up there is your life. That's your life.
Amen.
And he says, for our citizenship is heaven.
Amen. Praise God.
You know you're foreigners.
Yeah,
you didn't know that because some of you don't have visas and papers and different things. So maybe somebody does, but not everybody does.
Right.
But it doesn't matter if you do or don't have papers for this world. You are a foreigner. You are a spiritual foreigner.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You're a stranger in a strange land. This is not home, ladies and gentlemen. Just like that apartment was not home, or that small house was not home for us, so we didn't invest everything into that home. We didn't invest all our thoughts of our kids raising, being raised in this home, growing up. We didn't think like that. It wasn't our home.
Right.
We didn't put everything, if everything doesn't happen here in this, no, it wasn't like that. That's not our home.
Right.
And this world is not our home, ladies and gentlemen. Our citizenship is heaven. Praise God. Now notice this. From whence we also look in expectation for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. See, those that have crossed over, praise God, they know something that you don't know. They're not bound by the earthly restrictions of wrong thinking, of wrong temptations, of addictions, of depression, of fear, of sickness, of poverty. They're not bound. They're changed forever. What is there not to look forward to?
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. I like using faith because it pleases God. But I'll tell you what, it'll be nice to not have to.
Yeah.
It'll be nice to have no tests and trials come your way.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Praise God. That's good work.
change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is even able to subdue all things unto himself. Our citizenship, our home is heaven.
Amen.
That's the realm that you should be sowing into. That's the realm that you should be thinking about. That's the realm that should be consuming your life. That realm. What can I do down here to make it better up there?
Amen. That's good.
Heaven will not be the same for everybody. And I'm not going to talk about that, but we are going to have duties in heaven. Ruling and reigning, the Bible talks about. Maybe someday we'll do a further, deeper study on that. But what you do down here matters for up there. Now, it's going to be wonderful for everybody. Don't get me wrong. But there's crowns. There's rewards. There's different things that Paul talks about. Well, I want to get there. And didn't the Bible say, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven? That means we can do something down here to invest for our future up there and enjoy it for eternity. What we do here, praise God. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm excited about heaven. And I'm excited that I have a Jesus that until I get there has given me the power to overcome.
Yeah.
Like that song says, we will not be overtaken and we will not be overcome.
Amen.
We probably should probably start singing that song during worship.
Amen.
I know it's a wordy one and I try to stay away from the wordy one, but I think we could just really implement that into our worship and start singing that, praise God. In fact, I think we'll probably sing it before we go home today. And we'll all stand up and you can just learn it with me. Praise God. Hebrews 11 and verse 13 says, these all died in faith. Now, to save us time so you don't have to know who all these are talking about, this is talking about people like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, giants, Sarah, giants in the faith that did things for God. And it said, these all died in faith, not having seen, received the promises. See, they didn't receive the fullness of what you and I had. Jesus hadn't come yet.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Or not having received the promises of what was their future to come. But having seen them afar off, they saw them by faith and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed. Now notice this. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Faith giants have a heavenly mindset. They know that this world, this one song I listened to, there's a line that says, this is just a rental.
Yeah. True.
This is not home. This is just a rental.
Amen.
Faith people understand. See, if you know you're getting a home, you'll treat your home different than you're going to treat that rental property. You're not going to do every single thing that you want to do in the rental because it's not necessarily what yours that you get to keep as you would if you had your own name on a title deed or something like that.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And faith people, they know. They confessed it. It says, we're strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Glory to God. Foreigners. Just passing through. Praise God. It'll help you. Now, verse 14 says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Well, if they're strangers and pilgrims, everybody wants a home. And they're saying, they're declaring they want a home, but it ain't here. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they would have had opportunity to return. It said, if they would have thought about the natural. See, so if they would have thought about the natural, if you look at a more modern translation, basically what it's telling you is, if they would have kept thinking about the natural, it would have caused them to return to the natural. And that's what people do. Their mind is consumed with the natural. Get consumed with the heavenly. It'll bring you such peace. You're untouchable. You're untouchable. You're untouchable that way. Nothing phases you because this is temporary, it's minor, I'm going on to better.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, change your faith. And then you'll get so built up in faith that the little things or even the big things that come and trouble you to get out of faith because you just have that mentality of resting and big deal, I'm getting better. You'll be in faith and then you'll conquer those things.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it all goes hand in hand.
Oh,
yeah. And verse 15, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one.
Amen.
That's my desire.
Yeah. Praise God.
That's my desire. A heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Didn't Jesus say there are many mansions in my house?
Yeah.
Then I go to prepare one for you. a place for you. He's got a place prepared for you. Oh, it's going to be so pretty. So nice. It's going to meet the desires of your heart because that's the kind of God you have. He fulfills the desires of your heart. See, you try to get everything you can into here when maybe some of those wonderful things are going to blow your mind up there. Wow. Praise God. Ooh, I'm excited about heaven. Go with me to Philippians chapter 1. I want to show you this. Now, the Apostle Paul, talks about how he was translated into heaven. But he says, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but I was caught up. He said, I don't know if my body actually went, or I don't know if just my spirit went. He said, I'm not sure, but I know I was in heaven. He says that. He says, if I knew a man, you know, in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. That was caught up into the third heaven, right? And see, there's different atmospheres and realms of heaven as well, but he was caught up to where God was. So he saw it. He experienced it with his eyes, and he relates it. I want you to put this in terms for yourself now. But also, this will also bring you peace, because we all have loved ones that are there. That will, I mean, that's one of the cool things about looking forward to going, is we get to see them, be with them, right? So I want you to see what the Apostle Paul says about it, because he was there. He says in verse 21, he says, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See, people look at me, I'm not saying you specifically, look at me and say, Pastor Mike, you're crazy to say that when your time comes, you're going to be so thrilled. Why? The Bible says when that happens, I gained.
Yeah. Right.
When somebody gives you $50 and you gain financially, are you happy?
Amen.
Absolutely. To die is gain. Glory to God. Praise His holy name forevermore. And it says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not, or I don't know. Because he's saying, if I go there, I've seen it, it's so much better, but if I stay here, I can keep ministering.
Amen.
And we could all say that, right? Yeah. It'd be better there, but there's things we got to do down here.
Right.
He says in verse 23, I love this, for I am in a strait betwixt two. And I tell you, I don't eat very much on the weekends because of this, and all I see when I see that verse is the word twix. I mean, the Bible is pro-twix. If you take out the B and the E and the T on the end, what do you see? Twix! Glory to God! I know what I'm getting later. Well, I've said it. Now it's in there. He says, for I'm in strait betwixt two. English motto would say, I'm in a rock, between a rock and a hard place.
Sure.
Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is where? Heaven. Which is what? Far better. So why wouldn't we look to that and focus on that, because it's far better than what we even have down here? If I know that the home I'm going to be moving into is far better than what I'm in, you better believe I'm looking forward to that home. I'm thankful for where I'm at, but I'm not walking around saying, this is it for me. I'm just so thrilled. No, what's coming is better, which is far better. Nevertheless, verse 24, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So basically he says, I'll stick around for your sakes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. Okay, so think of the most amazing place in the world that you can think of, and then multiply it by a million. That's heaven.
Wow.
That's the beginning of heaven.
Praise God.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. Praise God.
Amen.
We're blessed.
Amen.
We're blessed. Hallelujah. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon which our house, which is from heaven. If so, that being naked, we shall be not found naked. If we be clothed, we not be found naked. For that we are in this tabernacle, do groan. In this of being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that mortality would be swallowed up with life. The Bible, excuse me, can you please pull that up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? In verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4. It says that we are in this tabernacle do groan. I'm going to wait till it gets up there because people need to see this. Praise God. It says, being burdened. We groan. We're burdened. We're groaning for something. Not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed with a different clothing. What? That immortality. That we don't have any mortality. That mortality would be swallowed up with life. That mortality would be swallowed up with immortality. The Bible says that while we're in this body, it's okay to groan and to desire to be there.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Glory to God. Verse 5, now he that wrought for us the self-same thing is God, who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit. A more modern translation said, he's given us the down payment of the Spirit. The Spirit of God on the inside is the down payment that tells you that's awaiting you. You can't explain how you know Jesus is Lord. You can't explain how you know heaven's waiting for you, but you know it. Don't you know it? Don't you lay down at night knowing I'm going there, that there's something better? Well, that's the Spirit. The Bible says he's given us a down payment, which is the Spirit of God. That's telling us that's where you're going. Praise God, while we're here. Therefore, now notice this, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while, now listen about this for a Christian. You're a Christian, aren't you a Christian? If you're born again, you're a Christian. While we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Well, our spirit wants to be with Jesus so bad. But while we're in this body, we're absent from being in his presence. Now, yes, he can manifest his presence and he dwells on the inside, but it's going to be different when we're there with him face to face. It's just going to be different. We're absent from the Lord. Verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, verse 8, I say, and willing. I read these and I wonder, why have we not talked about the greatest part of our redemption more? Because the Bible says we're confident and actually willing. And would rather be absent from the body, because when we're absent from the body as a Christian, immediately we're in the presence of our Lord. Brother Hagin would say this, and now I get it now. And it helps me because I have family members that I know are born again that I miss, but I know they're with him. And when I read these verses, it brings peace to me. That, he said, never feel bad for a Christian that's died.
Amen.
They've gained, they're in a place that's far better, and the Bible says that immediately, they're not somewhere floating off in space in some dark, scary place. They're with Jesus. They have got their reward. How awesome is that? Now again, don't be running out of here jumping in front of a semi. I'm telling you, I'm about to go home, follow, put a watch on all of you. I know it's going to be good, but don't you go anywhere. You got to stick around. People need you. Hallelujah. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. Now get this, verse 9. Wherefore, or now this is what I was telling you. The mindset of this will help you. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent will be accepted of him. That means we because we know that when we're absent from our body, we're going to be in his presence, we want to be right. And then it goes on in verse 10, it says, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. So when you have focus that you're going to be with him immediately in his presence, you want to make sure you're going there well-pleasing, which helps and translates you to living a better life here, being faithful, right? Being moral, doing the word of God, being generous, being a giver, following the Bible.
Yeah.
Having a heaven mentality will free you from so many things of earth's restrictions. The earth puts a chain on you and binds you. Go to Romans 8 and verse 18. I want to show how it helps you in your trials. And we'll close. Romans 8 and verse 18. Praise God. Paul had a revelation. He was the writer of Romans. He had a revelation of heaven.
Amen.
He says, for I reckon... See? That sounds like South Dayton talk. I'm sorry. I think that if Paul had to pick his favorite church, it would have to be ours by that kind of language.
Amen.
I mean, that is South Dayton talk right there. Praise God. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time the tests and the trials and the things that we go through. He says, I reckon something. I've realized something. That the sufferings, now again, we're talking about somebody who had been to prison, beaten, persecuted for his faith, far more than probably will ever have to experience. And he says, I have learned something. That the sufferings of this present time, they're not even comparable to the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. The mindset is, thank God. Now, here's the awesome thing is God's given us faith. We could stay on the religious end of this and just say, well, that's sweet by and by, that's all. But God gives us a trump card. It's called faith. Amen. Where we can pull out the get out of jail free card and use our faith down here. Thank God. But while you're going through those things, and even if you didn't have faith, you could rest in the fact that it's okay. What I'm going through here is not even comparable to how good it's going to be up there.
Amen. Praise God.
Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature. Now it's talking about creation here. I'm going to just kind of explain it. I like King James. I love the language, the poetry of it, but sometimes it can get you in a confusing mess if you don't look at it with other translations. But it says, for the earnest expectation of the creature or creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. One translation says that, I'll just keep going here. It'll help you explain it in a second. For the creature or the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who hath subjected the same hope. Because the creature or creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This life has restrictions. Creation knows that this life has restrictions. There's death, there's sickness, there's different things that happen, there's different things that you're limited to do in your physical body that creation can't do, and creation knows it, and creation, it says, knows that it'll be delivered from that bondage. Well, go on to verse, let's see here, let's go on to verse 22. For we know, now notice this, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, in pain together until now. They're groaning, just waiting for this manifestation. Now, this is twofold. The manifestation of the people of Christians taking their place on earth and manifesting and being who they ought to be, but also when Jesus comes back, glory to God.
Amen.
It says, and not only they, because we know he's talking about heaven, two, because Paul says this, what do you say? The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to what shall be revealed in heaven. But it's also talking about until now that creation has been waiting for us to be revealed in this time and fill God's plan, but also creation is waiting to be released from. So it's twofold application there. He says, and not only they, verse 23, but also ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit or to take place, the redemption of our body. Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, what awaits us is so much more wonderful. I encourage you, this stuff down here is so petty. This stuff down here is so fleeting. This stuff down here is so passing. The Bible says the earth is, or the world is but, life is but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Well, 80 years seems like a long time, but I'll tell you what, in the scope of a million, it's not. It's like a vapor. I encourage you, focus on what God has for you in heaven. Praise Him and thank Him for heaven. I thank Him almost every day that I can think of for salvation. For heaven! Of what's waiting for me. It keeps me focused. It keeps me on the straight and narrow. It keeps me pressing in and seeking God. Amen? We have something that's waiting that's far better. To die is gain! There's a glorious inheritance waiting for us, being kept in reserve for us. Man, praise God. It'll help you. It'll help you. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we're so thankful this morning for what you've imparted to us. Lord, I am thrilled about heaven. I just am. I'm thankful for what you have for us down here. I'm thankful we can have heaven on earth. But even the heaven on earth, if we're to be completely honest and balanced, it's not going to be the same as what it's going to be like in heaven. Because the word says down here we have to partake of the blessings in the presence of our enemies, which at least we're partaking, but up there we won't have any enemies anymore. It'll just be eternity with you, spent with you, Father, just in glorious hope and healing and peace. And So Father, right now we're so thankful for that salvation. Lord, we're thankful for those that have gone before us that are enjoying that right now. We are jealous, Father. We thank you. They're okay. They're doing well and they're thriving and they're the happiest they've ever been. So Lord, we're thankful for that. We thank you that you have provided that for them, but that's also for us someday, Father. So we're so thankful. Father, we set our hopes on that which is to come. We set our hopes on what heaven has for us, which is what the Word says far better, which to die is gain, an inheritance undefiled, kept reserved for us. We thank you, Father. We bless you this morning. We glorify you. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question if you can hear my voice, whether it's by live stream or an archive or in this building. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Would I go to heaven or would I not go to heaven? The Bible says you can know, and I want to tell you, it has nothing to do with how good of a person you've been, how much your church attendance has been, how much money you've given. The Bible says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So it doesn't matter how good or bad you've been, it matters what you do with Jesus. And what do I mean by that is, if you believe he came to the earth, if you believe he died and rose again, you are a candidate and you are qualified for salvation. And so, Father, we thank you so much for making it simple. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We won't embarrass anybody. We won't have anybody come to the front. We won't have you stand up and say anything on your own. But if you can say, you know, I do believe that Jesus came. I do believe he died and rose again. But I didn't know I had to ask him. I thought believing was enough. I didn't know. No, the Bible says if you confess, if you call on his name, you'll be saved. There has to be a calling on his name. So if you want to receive Jesus here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand in the air if you've never done that before? Nobody's looking. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus this morning? Just lift your hand up. Anybody? Father, I don't see any hands in this building. That doesn't mean that there wasn't somebody maybe that was just shy, or maybe there's somebody listening by live stream right now or in the archive in the future. I just pray that they would not pass from this life until they have made Jesus their Lord. It's so simple. All they have to do is say, just cry out to you from their heart. Just confess that you're Lord. Just believe that you died and rose again and ask you to come into their heart. Father, we thank you for saving us. We glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's walk out of here on a faith note. We're going to stand up and we're going to sing that song. So just stand, begin to praise him and just follow along the best you can. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. We magnify you. Thank you, Lord. We win. Praise God. We win. Glory to God. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Father. We magnify you. We magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. And I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. And I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us. We have hope that his promises are true. In his strength, there is nothing we can't do. This we know,
There are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us, lives in us, lives in us. 'Cause greater is He that is living in me. He's conquered the enemy. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. Sing, greater is He. 'Cause greater is He that is living in me. He's conquered the enemy. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. In victory. Hallelujah. We bless You, Lord. Sing, the same power. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. The same power that commands the dead to wake. Lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks. The same power that can calm a raging sea. Lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us. Hallelujah. I remind you that the Bible says, O death, where is your sting? Where is your victory, O grave? There is none. Hallelujah. Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. And that same Spirit lives on the inside of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an awesome rest of the weekend. We'll see you Wednesday night. You are dismissed.